welcome back to another episode of I Shouldn't Say This But. My name is Katie Leeson and I'm Managing Director of Social Chain UK. Things are definitely starting to change again right now. I can feel a shift in conversations as people start to talk about their plans after lockdown, and there's an atmosphere that freedom is on the horizon. But as with any change, there comes some apprehension. In this episode, I want to talk about setting boundaries, both as lockdown starts to ease and how setting some might actually help us in the workplace. I wanted to do this episode because I get asked quite a lot about the best piece of career advice I've ever been given. And I'd not long been managing director at Social Chain, and I was trying to do a lot of everything for everyone. I was getting a lot of messages in my inbox. It was just at the point where I'd started doing a bit more public speaking, and I was having a lot of people ask me if I'd be their mentor or if I could meet them for a coffee for advice, or if they could speak to me about their business idea. And it was becoming a little bit overwhelming. And I was very kindly invited to a Q&A session with Tamara Lohan, who is the founder and CEO of Mr. and Mrs. Smith. And we had a little time and I thought, I'm going to ask a question about, because she's amazing. She's a non-exec director for Not on the High Street. She's a founder of Mr. and Mrs. Smith. She's a parent. And I thought, I'm going to ask how she managed to juggle all these things whilst dealing with all the requests and managing her day job. And she gave me the best piece of advice that I have, one, used myself and also used to give advice to other people. And that is, don't be afraid of setting rules and using those rules to your advantage to make yourself better. So for me, those rules were all around. If someone asked me for a coffee, I could say, I actually only block out a bit of time once a month in my diary and I'm booked up for the next 2 months. So it was you protecting yourself as well as being realistic with the people that are asking you for your time. Because at the time, it didn't feel like the time was my own. So in this episode, I'm going to delve a little bit more into my experience of setting boundaries with people and the effect that that's had both on me and on them, and why it's important to get into the habit of doing so. And Karen is also back for this episode, and she helps us understand why this might feel uncomfortable for some of us to begin with, but she also lets us in on some techniques we can use to help us get it right. So what are boundaries? Boundaries are basic guidelines that we can create to establish how other people can behave around us. They outline what behaviour is okay and what isn't, and how to respond if someone passes those limits. Setting boundaries can make sure that relationships both inside and outside of work are mutually respectful, appropriate, and caring. I definitely think that establishing personal boundaries reflects the way you take responsibility for your life. But at the same time, I'm pretty sure at some point we will all have felt our boundaries being crossed in some way or another. That feeling of someone crossing your boundary might feel like a person is strange because of the way they behave towards you. It could be anything from someone standing too close to you, a physical boundary, or asking you a personal question, which is an emotional boundary. Although it may seem counterintuitive to some, good boundaries aren't limiting. They don't restrict your ability to fully interact with others, but they do encourage others to fully respect you as a wholly developed person. If someone has crossed a boundary with you, you could have feelings of confusion, anxiety, or feeling drained around a person. These can all be signs that our boundaries have been violated. Boundaries are important because we have to know how to establish healthy emotional, psychological, and physical boundaries in relationships so we can feel respected and safe. I have struggled with setting boundaries because I am a people pleaser, and I think that if I say no to something, it will impact my relationship with people or I will be letting them down. In reality, over time, what I've learned is that in not setting those boundaries has actually impacted me more and my mental health and my relationships with those people. So actually, your level of self-esteem and the boundaries you set for yourself are very closely related. Well-defined boundaries allow you to show up more assertively, authentically, and act with courage and honesty. Despite what some people might think, I believe a firm boundary actually comes in the form of being the complete opposite of selfish, because they let everyone know exactly where you stand. Lack of healthy boundaries can really negatively impact your life. So if work's piling on and you're saying yes to too many things that you really don't want to commit to, it can really negatively impact your life. The way you develop reasonable boundaries is by knowing yourself and identifying your personal beliefs, values, wants, and needs. Then you can think about which of your boundaries violate your core values and which can be enforced with greater flexibility. Truth be told, setting boundaries can be a painful process. Not only will you occasionally step on some toes, but you also run the risk of clashing with others seeking to assert their own boundaries. But I do think that if you're willing to look past what might be a temporary discomfort in the beginning, on the other side of that lies a much happier, healthier place. I'm going to talk a little bit now about my own experience with boundaries, or lack of. I mentioned before that I'm definitely a people pleaser, and I've spent a lot of my life just saying yes to everything, trying to keep everybody happy. But at times it's definitely led me down the road where I have become exhausted and really felt like I was doing it out of necessity rather than want. So I think a lot of it is around giving myself permission to rest. Because a lot of the time as well, I link it with, if I'm sat doing nothing, I'm not achieving anything, and I find that a real struggle. So the key boundaries that I've set for myself is the work piece that I mentioned at the beginning has been incredibly important, and probably one of the biggest learnings that I've ever had is like having those rules, as Tamara called it, rules in place to let people down gently, as it feels to me. I'm giving them time, but I'm doing it on my own terms. And it's me having control over how I give myself away rather than people just demanding and me feeling like I'm just not there for anybody properly. And I think that probably is the most valuable thing I could have learned both in my professional life and my personal life. My personal life, I'm not as good at boundaries. One probably good example is my mum. She absolutely loves it if I go, when I could go home on a Sunday and have roast dinner with them. But if I did that for a couple of weeks on the run, she would expect me there every single Sunday after that. And sometimes you just need to have a bit of quiet time on a Sunday just to get you resting, especially when you've been busy all week. And I've had to set those boundaries with my parents. I get it. I understand that they want to see me. But also, I also need to respect the fact that I've been busy all week, and sometimes I just need to chill out and have a bit of quiet time on my own. I really value my own space, especially doing the job that I do. So sometimes I just don't want to talk to anyone, and I find it quite difficult if I've not set those boundaries. I think where I've really struggled in the pandemic for boundary setting has been around the amount of time that I'm spending on Zoom and video calls. A lot of my day in work is sat on video calls, and I find it draining. So it's been very hard for me to balance looking after myself whilst also feeling connected to people, because the only way of connecting to people has been through video. So I've really struggled with that in the last 12 months, and I think I could probably have set clearer boundaries on that. But then you also don't want to seem like you're not being sociable, or you don't want to see your friends. And I'm just really excited about the next few months of opening up. I probably could have set better boundaries when I was younger around work, and just having clear work-life balance boundaries and not letting things get to me as much as they did, whereby I was working till 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night, and I was too afraid to say, I've got something else to do, or I've got places to go. There was one occasion where I was out for dinner with a friend that I'd booked in months in advance, went for dinner, and I was just still getting messages about work, and my attention wasn't on my friend. And the consequences of that are not being clear on my boundaries of what I was doing, and the fact that I'd get back to the people when I was finished, was that that friendship definitely dropped off. And I feel incredibly guilty for that. And it's something that I needed to work on, is making sure that if I'm doing something where I'm not going to be contactable or I need to be in the moment with someone, making sure that those people that might message me that usually require a straight answer straight away know that I'm going to be a little bit later on getting back to them. Because that's very sad that I let something like that, trying to be everything to everyone, I let someone down in that moment. I feel guilty, though, around setting boundaries. So that example there, I felt like I needed to sit and listen to my friend who was telling me about their problems whilst also answering my messages about something that was going on at work. And if I left it and knew that the messages were mounding up, I would feel guilty. Or if I'd not responded, I would have felt guilty, because I don't want to let anybody down. And I think that's part of my values of care sometimes translates into it's not the healthiest thing for me. And it's definitely something that I'm hoping that when we speak to Karen, she'll be able to help me with. I don't want to feel like that, because I know actually looking at the example that I gave you, that Tamara gave me, has actually been beneficial in my life rather than letting people down. So I need to learn that about my personal life as well. I think people struggle to set boundaries at work because people are so worried about being exposed, getting it wrong, looking like they can't do their job properly. I think a lot of it comes back to that imposter syndrome of feeling like a failure. If you're not there constantly, you're not answering those messages, you're not solving problems, you're not answering questions. And I think it's down to us as leaders to give people that comfortable, safe space to know that if it's out of hours, you don't expect a response. So me, myself, what I do now is I don't email outside of hours. I set it to be schedule sent, because I don't want someone else feeling like they have to reply straight away, because that is their time and they need to set those boundaries for themselves. And I need to respect that. You know what? The reason that I really want to talk about boundaries is because I don't think any of us are really good at setting them ourselves. And I don't know if I've ever experienced boundaries with other people. So all of my friends are probably as guilty as each other, whereby we will all drop anything we've got going on at that moment if one of us asks for something. And sometimes that's at the detriment of our own mental and physical health. So I really wanted to do this episode so I could get some advice from Karen as to how best to make use of boundaries, what it can do for you, and also how to do it in a really authentic way. So what's become really clear from me talking is that I don't really know how to build my own personal boundaries. So I've done a bit of research into how to build your own personal and emotional space. And what's become really interesting from reading it is that our personal boundaries aren't as obvious as a fence or a giant no trespassing sign. Unfortunately, they're more like an invisible bubble. And I thought that was a really nice way of looking at it, because it gave me a bit more perspective on what I should be building boundaries for and why they're important. They are really challenging to navigate. And I think you've probably listened to that in how I've tried to explain my own personal experience with boundaries. But setting and communicating them is essential for our health, well-being, and even our safety. They give us a sense of agency over one's physical space, body, and feelings. We can set boundaries for our personal space, our sexuality, our emotions and thoughts, our stuff, the possessions we own, our time and energy, and the culture, religion, and ethics that we have. So setting boundaries for ourselves and honouring those boundaries of others isn't textbook, but you can learn ways to take charge of your life, whether you want to set clearer rules with your family or assert space when it comes to strangers. I'm going to give you a few tips that I've read about on how to get started. So the first thing is to understand the nuts and bolts of boundaries. The benefits of boundaries is it can give you better self-esteem, it can conserve your emotional energy, and it can give you more independence. So the word boundary can be a bit misleading. It conveys the idea of keeping yourself separate, but boundaries are actually connecting points because they provide healthy rules for navigating relationships, both intimate or professional. And they actually help improve relationships and self-esteem. They protect relationships from becoming unsafe. In that way, they actually bring us closer together than farther apart, which I thought was really interesting because I obviously thought of them as a blocker from letting people in. and therefore are necessary in any relationship. And having boundaries allows you to make yourself a priority, whether that's in self-care, career aspirations, or within relationships. So boundaries can actually be flexible. And the research that I've read says that you shouldn't draw your boundaries in permanent ink. It's good to think about them occasionally and reassess. So when boundaries are too rigid or inflexible, problems can occur. You don't want to isolate yourself. You don't want to avoid closeness altogether or give up on all your time with others. And actually, for women, creating boundaries that are too bendy is actually a common thing. Overly sacrificing approach to relationships creates imbalance or exploitation. And I think this is where I've gone wrong in my personal relationships, is not thinking about my boundaries a little bit more. It's just trying to do everything for everybody. Boundaries allow us to conserve our emotional energy, which I think is really interesting. Our self-esteem and identity can be impacted, and you build resentment towards others because of an inability to advocate for yourself. You don't need to have the same boundaries or comfort levels for everybody. Boundaries that let us have a different radius depending on the situation or the person can help you maintain enough energy to care for yourself. Understand that just because you may be happy to lend a hand to your best friend on moving day doesn't mean that you also have to do the heavy emotional lifting when someone texts about their latest drama. This really spoke to me because I think I do try and do everything the same level for everybody, and it ends up being absolutely exhausting. And the final thing is, boundaries give us space to grow and be vulnerable. We all deal with complex feelings when life happens. By setting boundaries and then breaking them when the time is right, you're showing your vulnerability. This could be as simple as talking openly to friends and family. When we display our vulnerability to someone, we let them know that they're welcome to open up to us sometimes as well if they need to. But this is very, very interesting. Vulnerability and oversharing are different. Shared vulnerability brings people closer together over time. Oversharing, on the other hand, can use drama to manipulate, hold other people as emotional hostage, or force the relationship in one direction. So a bit of oversharing and red flags for those include posting personal rants and attacks on social media. No filter or regard to who gets a download of daily dramas. Sharing personal details with new people in the hopes of hurrying the friendship along. Nominating one-sided conversations. And expecting on-call emotional therapy from family and friends. The last couple of weeks have been incredibly heavy in terms of social media, the news. It's been an incredibly sad time. And I think if you know your boundaries and you know how to set them, you can avoid these moments where someone is giving too much and there's too much oversharing of their thoughts and opinions, which can impact your own emotional stability. So I think it's important to understand your own boundaries to know how to navigate when something like the last couple of weeks has happened. Learning the difference between being vulnerable and oversharing is also a critical part of setting and communicating boundaries. The occasional overshare isn't a crime, and we're all likely guilty of a little harmless too much information now and then. But if you expect you're doing it regularly, you could be trampling on other people's boundaries. And I think this is a very important part that we all need to learn from the last couple of weeks. We all know it's been horrific, really heavy in terms of news, but making sure that we are sharing good information that can help, rather than just trying to provoke a conversation that could impact on other people's boundaries, is a really interesting thing to think about. So you've got to determine your borders by examining your rights and needs. How do you define your boundaries? The first thing is you ask, what are your rights? Then you follow your gut, and then you determine your values. You can't just search on the internet for a set of boundaries that you can buy. Boundaries are deeply personal choice and vary from person to person, and we shape them throughout our lives. Our boundaries are shaped by our heritage or culture, the region we live or come from, whether we are introverted, extroverted, or somewhere in between, our life experiences, and our family dynamics. We all have a unique family of origin. We make different meanings of situations. We may change our own boundaries over the years as we mature or our perspective shifts. Each person needs to find that level of comfort within themselves. So you can investigate and define your boundaries with self-reflection. It's important in setting boundaries to identify your basic human rights. So these are: I have a right to say no without feeling guilty. I have a right to be treated with respect. I have a right to make my needs as important as others. I have a right to be accepting of my mistakes and failures. I have a right not to meet others' unreasonable expectations of me. Once you identify your rights and choose to believe in them, you'll find honouring them easier. When you honour them, you stop spending energy pacifying or pleasing others who dishonour them. The second bit that I talked about is, what does your gut tell you? Your instincts can help you determine when someone is violating your boundaries or when you need to set one up. So check in with your body, your heart rate, if you're sweating, if you've got a tightness in your chest, a feeling in your stomach or your throat. They can help you handle where boundaries should be drawn. Maybe you clench your fists, clench your jaw when you're talking to someone, or if something happens, really tune into your body and the reactions that that's taking and understand those moments, because they could be the times when you need to create boundaries. And the final thing that I always talk about actually is understanding your values. Your boundaries also relate to your moral philosophy. It's important to understand your values and reflect on how those are challenged, tread upon, or poked in a way that might make you feel uncomfortable. This lets you know if you've got strong and healthy boundaries or not. So how to create boundaries? You've got to be assertive. You've got to learn to say no. You've got to safeguard your spaces and get support. So being assertive. If you've ever felt out of place or exhausted because of someone else, this is where to draw the line with confidence. Being assertive. If someone sets boundaries with assertiveness, it feels firm but kind to others. If they push it into aggressive, it feels harsh and punishing to others. Assertive language is clear and non-negotiable without blaming or threatening the recipient. So you can be assertive by using statements. I feel blah when blah because what I need is. Statements show confidence and good boundary setting by expressing thoughts, feelings, and opinions without worrying what others are thinking. Learn to say no, even though it can be really daunting, and I really struggle with this. No is a complete sentence. We might be hesitant to say no without offering more info, but it's not necessary. Sometimes assertiveness isn't needed for boundary setting as much as a personal tolerance for being uncomfortable. You can say no without explanation and without providing any emotional labour to the person you're saying it to. If someone asks you for your number, you can absolutely say no. If a coworker asks you to cover their shift, you can also say no without offering any explanation. The next thing is about safeguarding your spaces. You can also set boundaries for your stuff, physical and emotional spaces, and your time and energy without necessarily announcing it as well. The features on your tech device offer some way of doing this. Safeguarding boundaries include things like putting private items in a lockbox, using a password-protected digital journal instead of a paper one, scheduling non-negotiable alone time or time when you're just doing your own thing, a cut-off time to answering emails or texts, and out-of-office responder on emails when you're on holiday. New research shows that it could take time to tune out. One study reports that the expectation that we should be available to answer work emails during non-work timeframes can decrease our well-being and create conflict in our relationships. So set boundaries for work-life balance wherever you can. Our tech spaces are also increasing boundary crossing concerns in a number of ways. So make sure that you put those boundaries in place. The fourth point on how to set boundaries is getting assistance or support. So defining and asserting your boundaries can get even trickier if you or a loved one lives with any sort of mental illness, depression, anxiety, or history of trauma. If you're experiencing challenges with setting or asserting boundaries, or someone is causing you difficulty by crossing them, never hesitate to reach out to a mental health professional. And Karen's going to give us some tips on that a bit later in the episode. The final thing I just wanted to touch on from boundary setting that I've learned is how to recognize and honor people's boundaries. So the three beginner rules to follow is watch for cues. Social cues is a great way to determine other people's boundaries. when you're talking with someone and they take a step back, when you take a step forward, you're being given information about their comfort level with closeness. Possible hints someone might want more space is avoiding eye contact, turning away or sideways, backing up, limited conversation response, excessive nodding or hurting, voice suddenly becomes higher pitched, nervous gestures like laughing, talking fast or talking with their hands, folding their arms or a stiffening of posture, flinching or wincing. So if you're looking out for those things, you can then identify whether you think you might be crossing someone's boundaries. The second tip is to be inclusive of neurodiverse behaviours. Cues will be a little bit different for everyone. So also keep in mind that some people may use certain gestures all the time. They might not be cues. They might have different cues. They might not be able to pick up on your cues. Neurodiverse is a newer term used to describe people who live with autism or who have other developmental disabilities. Their social cues may be different from the norm, such as poor eye contact or difficulty starting a conversation. And the third thing is just ask. Never underestimate the power of asking someone. You can inquire if a hug is okay or if you can ask a personal question. So the main thing that I found is that boundaries are really here to help us. If we can think of setting boundaries as fortifying our relationships with others rather than building walls to keep people out, boundaries can do a lot of important things for us. And I'm really going to ask Karen some tips now on how to build those boundaries. Hi, Karen. Welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you so much.
This week, I really need you. I've been trying to understand boundaries better, and I think the last couple of weeks especially have been incredibly heavy for news. What I've identified in doing my research and recording for this episode is I'm quite good at setting boundaries for work. I can't do it for my life. So can you help me, please?
I hope so.
How do you know your boundaries when it comes to social media?
It's quite difficult. You know, firstly, we've got a lot of notifications that are popping up on our phones and things like that. So it's easy to get sort of sucked in and sort of mindlessly be pulled into that world. But, you know, checking in with your relationship with social media. So are you happy with the use or your daily use of social media, or do you feel like it's impacting your life in some way? So I guess, firstly, it's about assessing the relationship and if you're happy with that before you decide what boundaries you want or need.
You can see a lot of people's like opinions and emotions, can't you, when you're on social as well? What are the benefits of boundaries, basically? And why is it important to know when we are living in a world where you get to see everyone's feelings and emotions?
I mean, with regards to boundaries, they're positive because they give a person a sense of agency over their own lives. So that sort of sense of control and, you know, by identifying boundaries and maintaining them, essentially, we're practicing self-care and protecting ourselves physically and emotionally. So, you know, they can improve the quality of our relationships, creating mutual respect and healthy interactions. So I suppose what you're talking about with social media is a relationship with social media and, you know, healthy interactions. So when we are interacting with social media, what you're saying there is that we have interactions with many different individuals. And as you mentioned, it's been a really, you know, it's been a heavy week. So I guess, you know, if there's a collective heavy week and there are things that are happening in society, then basically we'll be seeing the impact and people's feelings on social media. So if you're a person, you've mentioned before, you know, that you have the capacity to feel other people's feelings, you know, so high empathy levels. Sometimes we need boundaries as a highly empathetic person in order to protect ourselves emotionally.
Why can I set good work boundaries, but I can't set personal ones?
it is possible, you know, to feel capable of setting boundaries in one area of your life, but then struggle in another. So this really does depend on our individual experience and our beliefs around certain areas or interactions or relationships. So I guess this would be, you know, when you've got some private time to consider what the risk of setting boundaries is in a particular area, and what feelings also are brought up when you consider practicing boundaries in that area. For example, there could be a perceived threat that needs challenging there. The threat will likely be a sense of risk if you were to practice those boundaries. Say, if we use work as an example, the common fear could be, you know, if I practice boundaries here, perhaps I won't be good at my job because I won't be working as much as I think I should be, or other people will judge me for that, or, you know, there's a risk of losing my job. So that could be an internal fear. For example, with friendships or relationships, there could be an internal fear of losing people if they were to practice boundaries. So a good question is to consider, is this really a fear or is it a fact? You know, how likely is this to happen if I do identify that there's something I'm scared of if I were to practice boundaries?
That's really interesting. I think from my research and also speaking to you, it sounds like you've got to start by knowing yourself. And that's the most important thing, because your boundaries versus someone else's boundaries are always going to be very different. Once you've identified those and you've spent time and you've really understood your own values and you know where you feel comfortable, you've watched your own body language change and you've really identified, you've tapped into yourself, what's the best way to react if someone crosses a boundary that you've set for yourself?
If you feel like somebody has crossed a boundary, then this is about sort of practicing, expressing your feelings, or being assertive with your feelings. And, you know, sometimes people are a little scared of the word assertive because it brings up feelings. So is this aggressive, or is there going to be an argument or something about this? But, you know, we don't learn how to express our feelings in school. And it can be quite a threatening area, especially if there are negative feelings that we have. So it's about owning your feelings, really, not pointing the finger at another person and saying, look, you've done this to me, you know, this is all your fault. It's about saying, when that happened, I really felt uncomfortable, or I really felt that, you know, it didn't sit well with me. So it's about having a conversation which is mutually respectful.
That's good. That's really good to know. So boundaries are really important, but it takes the time to get them right. And then you've got to articulate them in the right way, but understand why you don't want to articulate them then. I think it is that fear of conflict is a reason probably why I shy away from setting them in. I'm fine having a difficult conversation in work, absolutely fine. In my personal life, it's very different. It's really got me thinking this episode about how to look after myself better. So I hope that these tips that you've just given will help the listeners as well to understand the importance of boundaries, because I've never really thought about it before.
You know, it's all for better emotional, physical health, and actually improves your relationships, because while you may be worried about potential conflict, the negative thing about keeping your feelings to yourself is that resentment can build, and then, you know, that's causing some unseen problems in your friendships or relationships. So self-esteem is increased and relationships are improved when you're setting boundaries, even though it can feel a really difficult thing to do.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Karen. That was so useful.
Pleasure as always.
We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
See you then.
Thanks again, everyone, for tuning into another episode of I Shouldn't Say This But. I hope this episode has helped you feel a little bit more confident with setting boundaries with others, and also more settled in the idea that it's actually a really positive thing to do. I've learned a hell of a lot about boundary settings and the benefits it can bring, whereas before I perceived it as quite a negative thing. So I've really loved doing this episode. I know I'll be taking quite a few of the insights that Karen shared. And if there's anything I've learned, it's that protecting our boundaries is a form of self-care and helps our relationships get stronger. Boundaries are important, but we've got to work on articulating them in the right way. I look forward to speaking to you all next week, where we'll have another wonderful guest on. See you soon.